The story must be told. Tilt yon heads to thirst for thy Lord's drippy drippings. We offer to thee our greases, all seven, and pray for one day true of Greece returned, thy holy grease giving. And now, a psalm from the Book of Grins in the chapter of sins.
Horns on the beast, speared with the children of sins, committed by fathers and mothers. The hooves beat the dirt, burst to powder bones, clap to ash the char, glazing the soil with pink urine. The herder comes close, his breath fire from drink.
That's a scary one, uh-huh. Gotta catch him else, I'll disappoint myself. Again.
He lassos a lasso and wrangles a wrangle. He rides and tugs and grips and pulls. The beast calms and he climbs it, rides it, propels it till it's sweaty and cold, and then dead. A cowboy will kill anything for sport.
By the left hand of Grip Slap the Adulterer, the triumph of St. Brad, the leaking nubs of the lepers of Pentecost, we invoke thy blessings. By these words, we know our seven greases. The story must be told.
A reading titled A Man for the Woman from the Book of Little Tad Taster.
Terry Grinchick checked the address on the flyer again. Sure, the decades-forgotten warehouse with broken windows and traps full of flesh-bare rat skeletons could not be his destination. 919 Quarum Street. This had to be the place. Terry entered the building, crinkling his bloated alcoholic nose and brushing the asbestos from the shoulder of his discount suit. Cheese and rice, he swore to himself. What did Katie get me into? His wife had been asking every morning for the last 60 mornings when he would get a job. She worked at a bank up on DuPont Road, but it wasn't enough for the two of them, let alone baby Brandon. She was the one who found the flyer at the supermarket.
It says here it's a guaranteed interview, she said,
pointing out the words like he was illiterate.
What could it hurt?
At the far end of the vacant industrial space, a red light blinked on the wall like a beacon. Of the debris in the warehouse, crumbling walls exposing rusted rebar, gears taller than two men lopsided, biting teeth marks into the concrete, it was the only sign of life. He approached. It popped.
Did you call ahead?
A genderless voice asked staticky through the box. There was no button to press, so Terry talked to the air.
Yes, I did. My name is Grinchick. Terry?
Timmy Sentek, is this correct?
No, I said...
Jeremy Crimmins, is this correct?
No.
Jarrett P.T. Bighorn, is this correct?
No!
Terry was getting frustrated. This was like speaking with one of those robot callers that called him twice a day with offers to refinance his debt. He balled his fists.
I said my name is...
Terry Grinchick. Is this correct?
Yes.
Wonderful. We thank you, please.
Feedback popped over the voice.
Take a seat inside, Terry Grinchick.
A garage door to the right clanked suddenly with an applause of tortured gears. Light flooded the derelict floor, and Terry tightened the knot of his tie till it pinched his skin. The next area was a grimy hallway, filled with 50 men, both Terry's age and level of desperation. Dirty suits, uncombed hair, wedding rings twiddling on knuckles. They sat shoulder to shoulder on chairs lining the hall of boarded-up doors, like a hotel wing abandoned to roaches. Terry walked past 20 men before he saw an open seat and sat between a heavily breathing diabetic with half of a foot and a cleanly dressed young man. The confident man was stretched out, ankles crossed, like this was all beneath him. Terry's doughy body caught their shoulders as he squeezed in.
Boy, Terry smiled. Packing us in like sardines, huh?
The diabetic coughed bloody, struggling for air. The confident man shook his head like he was embarrassed for Terry. An ancient alarm screeched. Through a speaker dangling atop a doorway, the unplaceable voice spoke again in static.
Chip Talbot to the interview room.
5 men down, a too thin, ashy man with yellow cirrhosis eyes stood up, wiped a hand over his sweating face, and swayed down the hall to a far room. The door buzzed open, and bang, it slammed shut. The confident man was laughing.
He don't stand a chance. I'm sure he'll do fine, Terry defended.
The confident man laced his fingers behind his head and scrutinized Terry with lazy eyes. He bent a finger, inviting Terry to bend closer.
He had a wedding ring. Is that bad? They don't take married guys, never. I had a cousin do this a year back, and they turned down every guy with a ring. Not him, though. One day's work, he cleared 5K.
5K, Terry salivated. Not for you. That money's mine. Ain't no way around it. If I were you, I'd be hoping they got more than one spot, because if it's down to you and me, which it won't be, it's gonna be me. Every time. I'm a fucking machine. I'd do anything for this job. Terry's mouth was slack before the man's charisma. His dream of coming home with good news was dashed at the stranger's feet.
What is the job?
Again, the man eyed Terry up and down. He laughed.
You won't have to worry about that. Trust me.
The stranger was done talking with Terry. Terry inspected the competition and agreed with the man. None of them stood a chance. Sloppy attire, hopeless expressions, the reek of desperation, and so many wedding rings. A job rewards you for confidence, Terry affirmed. Rewards you for presentation.
Terry Grinchek to the interview room.
Huh?
Terry exhaled in a startle. The confident man gave a withering snarl as he stood. Was this a sign of luck? Katie would be giddy if he came home with a job. Maybe he had a shot after all. The door buzzed open like they do in hospitals. Terry slipped off his wedding ring and fed it to his pocket. The interview room was dim and smoky, mildew and gasoline stirring in the corners. A single overbright spotlight shone into Terry's eyes, so he had to raise a hand to see the table and chair. Terry took a seat and rested his palms on the particle board table.
"Gosh, it's bright," he said.
10 seconds in the painful light, his eyes adjusted to see a faceless figure sitting motionless opposite. Terry jumped.
Oh, gosh! I didn't see you there. Bright, right? Well, gosh, thanks. First of all, thank you, for this opportunity. Wow, thank you.
He unfolded a resume he had in his pocket, and his ring fell out and clanked onto the floor. He was petrified. Sure, the figure would rise any moment, send him away. He didn't.
My name is Terry.
Terry stood and stretched a hand to the figure. The tenebrous shape did not stand or extend a hand in exchange, but offered a slight nod. The voice that followed droned all around like an amusement park ride.
Hello, we are seeking a new hire for the position of man. Are you interested?
Terry twisted his head, looking for the source of the voice. Maybe they used a recording to save money?
Are you interested?
Recording or no, he feared he was blowing it.
Well, of course, I'm your man. couldn't find a better candidate if you tried.
Are you interested?
Feeling like an idiot, Terry grit his teeth and addressed the shadowy figure.
Yes, I suppose I didn't come out and say it. Yes, I am interested.
Are you married?
Terry's hand went to his ring finger by instinct, though he studied the floor. No?
Good,
the voice echoed.
Married applicants struggle with the job requirements. Can you have children?
Terry couldn't be sure he heard correctly. Did it say can you or do you?
I have a child.
Provide proof.
Terry removed his wallet and showed the newborn snapshot he and his wife had taken at Sears. Soft focus, novelty-sized alphabet blocks, Brandon sneering toothless.
This is Brandon, my first child. You know, he just turned 1 year old.
Are you married?
No.
He lied.
I already told you that.
Good. Married applicants struggle with the job requirements. Are you interested?
The tone was exactly the same as before. It occurred to Terry he was alone in the room. Terry stood out of his seat, cupping hands over his eyes to get a better look at the figure. Hard as he looked, it didn't have a face. The head rattled sudden like insects inside a paper bag. He buckled back into the seat and shouted to the ceiling.
Hello? Is anyone there? I'm better in person. Can anyone tell me what the job is?
We are seeking a new hire for the position of man. We offer $5,000 per session with potential bonuses for subsequent sessions. Please remove your pants.
What?
Please remove your pants.
Terry was torn. He didn't think they would actually offer him that much money. $5,000. The confident man was telling the truth, yet he had to consider his dignity.
Well, sure. Okay, then.
As Terry unfastened his belt, he didn't feel like he was so alone anymore. He felt eyes hot upon his skin, whispers buzzing behind his ears as he lowered his gray pleats. He sat there in his boxers.
Please remove your pants.
I did.
Please remove your pants.
Terry began to ask a question, but then he understood. He shook his head, bit his tongue till it bled, and tugged down his underwear.
Can you touch it?
Terry covered his genital with a palm and tugged up on the clothes at his ankle.
Okay, that's enough. I'm out. No thank you.
Excellent. You have been chosen for the position of man. Proceed through the door for the first session. Payment is rendered on site.
A door opened opposite to the one he entered. He hesitated in his chair. $5,000 would pay off his credit card, would cover diapers and doctor visits for the next month or two at least. By the time he returned to his car, he'd have it. Feeling faint, he passed by the obscured figure, and as he examined the empty husk, the interview started over again.
Hello, we are seeking a new hire for the position of
Then a centipede scurried across the table.
Are you interested?
The final room was decorated to look like the outdoors inside. Tropical potted plants lined the walls, and three brands of mulch mixed on the floor. The far end of the room was plate glass, but old and peeling, so Terry could see isolated pieces, a shoulder, a hat, a kerchief, of a Cub Scout pack observing him blandly.
What the heck?
The voice boomed again, muffled.
Congratulations, you have been selected for the very competitive role of man. The session will begin shortly.
Confused as he was, Terry felt a pang of pride. It was then he realized he left his ring on the interview room floor. Mechanisms groaned, and a section of the left wall retracted with an agony of rusted gears. Hidden by plastic ferns and desiccated banana plants, a clanking whir of chain and track wheeled out a cage.
Hello? What do I do?
Terry yelled. He walked to the cage, then fell to his knees and got sick all over his shirt. Inside the cage, collapsed on the floor, was a dead chimpanzee. It had been dead for a week or more. The lacy black lingerie it wore was soiled with rot. And the cage door opened.
Hello? Please? Terry begged.
Congratulations. You have been selected for the very competitive role of man. This is the woman. You are now allowed to mate.
The Cub Scouts lifted Polaroids to their eyes. Two sat on the floor, already bored. They could not hear the man from behind the glass.
Hello? Please? Please, I'm not interested anymore. I want out.
Terry banged on the door, and he suddenly felt like he had to pee. He shouted over and over again until the recording answered.
Congratulations.
No, no, thank you. No. I don't want to. I don't want to anymore. No. No, no.
The recording seemed to melt and click away. When it returned, it was distorted.
Are you interested?
No.
Are you?
No, no. No, 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 no.
The cage door shut, and the deceased chimp rolled back into the wall.
Oh, thank gosh, Terry prayed. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Somehow, out of everything he thought, the clearest image was how disappointed Katie would be when he came home.
Preparing room for next session,
the speaker droned. Terry waited by the door like a cat. The door did not open.
Hello?
Terry was feeling stupid for pleading so desperately to no one when a deep growl of bass consumed him. It shook his bones, it flexed the glass, and scrambled the mulch. The pitch bent lower and lower till Terry stopped hearing it, but rather felt it rumble in his guts.
No, no.
He shook out as the waves beat slower, then faster, then slower, faster, in sickening pulses. His chest convulsed. The pulses tightened, growling and fighting and pounding and pulling until... Terry's lungs popped out of his mouth, followed by his stomach and 3 inches of bowels. He was alive long enough to taste as his guts wheezed and fizzled outside his body. He saw the flash of Polaroid cameras as he died there in the mulch. Terry's body still present, the door buzzed open once more. The confident man entered, fully nude, his sex brimming with his quickening pulse.
Congratulations! You have been selected for the very competitive role of man.
The confident man grinned in delight.
You're goddamn right! Hell yes! I'm gonna fuck a chimpanzee. Get me those yum-yums.
In the viewing room opposite, the Cub Scouts watched, engaged by the flesh ballet. Little Tad Taster watched most eager of all. Next year, he'd be senior patrol leader. The story must be told.
We now join hands and say the words thy Lord of Leaking Underparts taught us. Street sign, hog strip, lunch pass, horse gum, groin squirt, shoe shirt, pump clip, greed starch, hug shits.
As we end this service, I'd like to thank the entire congregation for joining. We have a few announcements. Terry Terrenson, son of Grimms. The town has seen your pasture. They have seen your goats. They see that your goats resemble yourself. Your wife has fled. Your daughters have fled. Your boy stands beside you, but in sin. And before you now, we plead to thee. Tell us what lies within.
Thank you so very dearly for listening to The Story Must Be Told.
We're hosted on the Last Podcast Network, and you can find us on Twitter at TSMBTPod.
This was a Post Everything production. Check us out at PostEverythingProductions.com for short films and nasty little treats. And you know what? We're going to see you next week, because we have more for you, more beautiful liturgical blessings. Ooh, let that grease run through ya.
And then last one, the guy walks in super confident, knowing he's going to fuck a chimp. Yeah. Do you want to say something about him? He's naked, like walking in with like a rock hard dick.
The story must be told.